Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians this morning. Book of Ephesians, chapter 3. Ephesians and chapter 3. Heaven is coming. Man, we're going to finally figure out how big God is when we get to heaven. And we're going to lift our voices in praise with all of the saints of God, days gone by, and those that are there presently with us. We're all in heaven together. We're going to lift our voice and we're going to give God His due praise. And it's going to be from a heart that is right. We're going to worship Him right. What a day that is going to be. I want to say I can't wait. I can't wait. It's not like I want to go right now, but I'd be okay with that. I really would. If God took me home right now and I dropped dead here in the platform, I'm okay. I can't think of a better place to go from than from the pulpit. I think that would be a wonderment is what it is. Ephesians in chapter 3. We continue the summer. We got one. This is the last Sunday in the month of June. We have been fighting the summer slump every step of the way. Let's recount just a little bit what we've covered so far this summer. Preached out of the book of Daniel. Preached on Daniel's excellent spirit. Daniel being prepared. We preached a service on Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Found out that they wouldn't budge, they wouldn't bend, they wouldn't bow. We also found out they wouldn't burn. They stood for God. We preached on Nebuchadnezzar and the high cost of pride. And how this man got too big for his own britches. Really, that series of sermons was how to live for God in a pagan culture. Next Sunday morning is going to be July the 4th already. It's going to be a red, white, and blue Sunday. We've got music planned. We're going to have a wonderful service. We're going to preach on America. Trust that God is going to bless. This Sunday, sandwiched between those two events, I want to preach this morning on the abundant life. I just want to lay out before you what is out there and what God would do in your life if you would just surrender to Him. And that's what I want to preach. It's out of Ephesians and chapter 3. Before I do, it was such a good illustration last week. Let's revisit that illustration I used last Sunday morning. I don't always have good illustrations. The good life. And just when you think it's as good as it's going to get, it gets better. That's what serving God is. Remember I told you last week, it's like a fall afternoon, everything's done, all the kids and grandkids are farmed out somewhere. You're sitting in front of the big game and you've got a hot golden brown pasty. Big one, meat, potatoes, rutabagas, onions, gotta have onions. Smothered in ketchup. A tall glass, yes sir, that's Christianized. Smothered in ketchup, a tall glass of cold milk, green onions on the side, and the salt shaker, Mr. Doctor, the salt shaker right there. And you're eating it, and you're enjoying it, and your team's winning, you're thinking, man, it can't get any better than that. And your loving wife from the kitchen says, honey dear, there's another pasty in the oven if you would like one. Number one, if my wife called me honey dear, I might drop dead of a heart attack there in the living room, but... Just when you think it can't get any better, it does. I'm telling you, I want you to know this. I want you to know this if you're my age or younger or you're a teenager. It doesn't, you'll never live a better life than the life that is surrendered to God. After you get born again, there is nothing like serving God. It's a life of adventure. It's a life of blessings. There are trials and there are deep waters you have to traverse from time to time, but God is with you every step of the way. And you always look in the rearview mirror, look back over your shoulder and say, God is good to me. That's what it's like to live for God. Abundant life, the abundant life. I know I had you, well, let's start with Ephesians 3. Let's go there. Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says to the church at Ephesus, this is my prayer for you. Because of all these truths, this is my prayer for you. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Listen, if you're born again, you're rich in Christ, and some of us, we don't even make any withdrawals. We don't even recognize how good God is to us. We refuse to follow him, so we don't have access to the riches of Christ that are available to us. I'm a rich man. I might not look like it, but I'm a rich man. Physically speaking, I am rich in socks. I think this is probably true for every old guy. When you were raising your family, you never had enough socks. Very seldom do they even match. That's why you get all one color, all right? You know, junior, he comes, he steals your socks. Sis, she comes, she steals your socks. You never have enough socks. And then you get to be an old guy like me, and the kids are gone for a long time, and you just buy a new pair of socks periodically. People give you socks for Christmas, socks for your birthday. Right now, if you were to look at the bottom drawer of my dresser, you were to open it up, and it's about that thick, and about that wide, and about that deep. It is packed with socks. I can reach in there with my eyes closed, just take a pair by the feel, winter socks, summer socks, just take them out. Man, I am rich with socks. If having socks makes you a rich man, I'm a millionaire. The truth is, though, as far as the child of God, we have all the riches of heaven as a resource. And Paul here says to the church at Ephesus that we are rich in Christ, the riches of his glory. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, to comprehend the full dimensions of God's love, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. It's measureless. It is infinite, the love of Christ that passeth my understanding. Verse 20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. He says, the church is the channel for the glory of God. The church is the hope of America. The church that is preaching the gospel is the hope of this generation. But understand this, all of the riches of glory, the abundant life that Jesus spoke of in John in chapter 10. Turn there. John chapter 10 and verse 10, I think it is. John chapter 10 and verse 10. And I'll read this single verse and get into the message here this morning. As soon as I can find John chapter 10. John in chapter 10. I've lost what verse it is. 10. It is 10? Okay, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Then Jesus says this, I am come that they might have life, eternal life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I want to preach this morning on the abundant life. It gets better every time, all the time, over the top, pouring out the sides, abundant life that we are called of God to live. This is not a health and wealth, peace and prosperity message. I'm not saying God is going to make everything in your life exactly right. You live right, you sell out to him and he'll make you a millionaire. That's exactly what I'm not saying. But I want you to know this. It's a life that's full and rich of the things that really matter. Let's stand together and I'd like to pray and then we'll get into it. Father, we pray your blessing upon the word of God. Make it real this morning. Make it ring. Help the preacher. I could be in the flesh up here very easily, and I don't want to do that. So I ask again that you'd forgive me of all my sins, God, and God, that you would cleanse me. You are my only hope. You are my anchor. You're the source of mercy and grace. Without you, Jesus Christ, I'm just a sinner man bound for hell. But thank you for salvation. Thank you that I've been born again. And now, Lord God, help me to fulfill some of the calling on my life by preaching and communicating the word of God this morning with some unction, with anointing. And Lord, may we hear from heaven today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to preach this morning on the seven C's of abundant living, the abundant life. Seven crucial C's that you and I have got to have if I want to help you as an individual child of God. I want you to get down the road serving God and grow in grace. I want you to become more like Jesus. I want to help the church collectively to become more of the New Testament church that God has called us to do. And there are seven things, and I'll not belabor any of them. And these are so serious, and these are so right. This is a well-thought-out message. It's not a new thought. It's a well-thought-out message. I've kind of fleshed it out and lived it out in almost 42 years of ministry. And it might be good for you to take an ink pen or borrow one from your neighbor or a pencil and write these seven things down in the flyleaf of your Bible and just scratch down the references and look them up later on and kind of get into it a little bit. It's going to help you. Before I get started, first of all, there's got to be a conversion. And this is not one of the seven, but it could be. Let me just give you the first one. The first one is, I need to confess Christ publicly, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I talk to people periodically and they pray the sinner's prayer, and after they pray, they feel real good and they've gotten born again. And some of them, I'm aware of this, they say, you know, I kind of did this once before. I go to a church that the gospel is present, it's just not pointed, and I kind of did this, but I really wasn't sure of my salvation. Now, what a dangerous position that is to be in. Because some people think they're going to go to heaven and think they're going to heaven and they're not going to heaven. They think they kind of grew into this born again experience. One lady told me, you Baptists, you're all about that born again stuff. I said, well, you know, without being born again, all is lost. Right. Nothing else really matters. It isn't enough to go to a church that just kind of has, you know, bingo and bazaars, and they talk about living the good life and living like Jesus. That's not enough. There are some people in those churches that have gotten born again in spite of how the church operates. There are others that are so close to heaven, they even name the name of Jesus, Matthew in chapter 7, but they have never been born again. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Listen to Jesus. Ye must be born again. That born-again experience is very important. Confess Christ publicly. After you get saved, you tell people that you're born again. You tell them that you are saved. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. And verses 32 and 33. You know, it used to be all Bible preaching churches, they just nailed it. They just went after it. They told people they had to get saved. That's a Bible word. They told people they need to get born again. That's a Bible word. They told them they need to be redeemed. That's a Bible word. They told them that heaven is real and hell is hot and eternity is forever. And there has to be a time and place in your life where you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior instead of walking around in a fog. Man, know for sure you're saved. Publicly confess Christ. Verse 32 says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. This is Jesus speaking. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. It is important that we publicly confess Christ. Make it a point of exalting Jesus. Publicly confess your salvation. I got born again. I got saved. Publicly confess Christ daily on a regular basis. I belong to Jesus. I don't go there anymore. I don't drink that anymore. I don't smoke this anymore because I now belong to Jesus. You publicly confess Christ. Number two, church membership. That one was confess Christ publicly. Two is church membership. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. Don't turn there. You know the verse. You need to believe. You need to be baptized and you need to belong. That is church membership. You know the passage in Hebrews chapter 10. Pastor Rader quotes it all of the time. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Man, we're to excite one another in the work of God. Would you turn to Psalms and Psalm 27 and verses 1 through 3. Psalm 27, just verse 4. Psalm 27 and verse 4, and maybe some of verse 5. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. David loved the tabernacle, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. The church, the tabernacle in David's life, it was his life. It was his life blood. You couldn't keep him away from it. He so badly wanted to build the temple, but God wouldn't allow him to build the temple. But the tabernacle, he could go there and worship. And he was there as often as he was, as he could be, and at every turn. It says in Psalm 122 and verse 1, David said, "I was glad when they said unto us, let us go into the house of the Lord." Man, it's an exciting thing to go to church. Isn't church good? Man, it's good. I come here and I see my brothers and my sisters. We feed together on the Word of God. We have that common denominator, that bond that is in the Holy Spirit. We that are born again, we're that blood-bought brethren, brothers and sisters. And we lift our voices like you did this morning. We lift our voices to God. And I know it's pleasing to God. And our worship pleases God. And then we open the Bible together and we hear the Word of God. Sometimes the preaching isn't that good, but we hear the Word of God. Seven C's. I gotta pick up the pace. Number one, confess Christ publicly. Number two, church membership. Attend regularly. And number three, concentrate on daily study. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15, I know you know the verse, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You got to eat. You got to feed on the Word of God. If you don't eat right, your body isn't going to perform right. Every athlete knows that. If you don't have, you don't eat right, you're not going to be able to get the things done that need to be done. The same is true in the family of God. You got to eat. So you need to study and feast upon the Word of God that never returns void. Some of you get drug in here on Sunday like, man, you're just completely exhausted and completely out of it. Pastor, I hope you got a big meal today because, man, I'm just exhausted and I'm weak. And I'm telling you, come to church, be at the services regularly, but you've got to develop your own time in the Word of God. You've got to have the Holy Spirit be your preacher. You've got to open your Bible in a regular way, in a consistent way, study the Word of God line upon line and precept upon precept. That's why it is good to take notes. That's why it's good to fill up your Bible with all kinds of notes, because it's helping you. It becomes your textbook. It is the book that you live by. Church attendance, confess Christ publicly, church membership, church attendance, concentrate daily on the study of the Word of God, commune daily with Christ. Three C's so far. That's the fourth C. Commune daily with Christ. Give us this day our daily bread. Luke 18:1. Men ought always to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Be that one that fellowships and communicates with God. So important. Repetition is a good teacher. So I say this the fourth Sunday, maybe the fifth Sunday in a row. There are three things that Daniel protected. And you and I need to protect those same three things. Number one, your Bible study. Number two, your prayer closet. Morning and evening and at noon will I pray and cry aloud unto the Lord. Number three, your church attendance. Psalm 27, we already read it. It's so important. The world will squeeze church out of your life. Guaranteed. Because the cosmos and the devil and the flesh are at war with God. And it'll do all it can to squeeze the lifeblood out and get you away from feasting and fellowshipping with the brethren on the Word of God, getting to the place where God deals with us. Commune daily with Christ. That is a real prayer closet, a real time of prayer. Camps this week. Man, we need your prayers. The staff, the workers, the kitchen, the counselors, everybody involved, we need your prayers. This is the week that souls are going to get born again. Boys and girls will come to Christ. This is the week where boys and girls will surrender to full-time ministry for God. But it isn't going to happen without concentrated prayer, without people going to their prayer closet and praying a hedge around the grounds of Camp Canaan Land, praying for protection and praying for the power of God and praying for souls. Boys and girls are so open to the Word of God. Pray for the preacher and the teachers and those that are communicating the Word of God, and that this week God had get a hold of some boy and call him to preach, and some girl and call her to full-time ministry some way, somehow. You know, I wouldn't be a preacher today if it were not for Bible camp. I went to Blessed Hope Bible Camp. That's where I got on fire for God. It wasn't a great family life at home at that time, but I go to camp and it became the highlight of the year for me. And I, right when camp would end, I'd think, man, I got a whole nother year until camp comes again. It was like everything. And then after I get married, and after, you know, I move out of the house, I get married, and I'm on my own, lo and behold, a preacher calls me, and they're short a man counselor, and I go to Bible camp, and that's where I surrendered to preach as an adult. If it weren't for Bible camp, Canaan Land Bible Camp is very important, but it'll amount to zero, zero, unless we bathe it in prayer. Let's be praying this week for God as he does battle for souls. Number two, or one is confess Christ publicly. Two, church membership. Three is concentrate daily on Bible study. Four is commune daily with God. Five is conquer temptation and sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. Turn there, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. As a child of God, understand this. Number one, you have not arrived, nor have I. Number two, I am not the standard of holy living. I understand I'm still flesh. I still have feet of clay. I still am guilty of foibles and sins, shortcomings, miscommunications. I still struggle with the flesh. But it says in the 13th verse of 1 Corinthians in chapter 10, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. As a child of God, don't let some junk sin rob you of the abundant life. As a child of God, don't let some trash sin, some trinket in the world, rob you of the joy of God. We have got to conquer temptation and sin in our own life. Romans in chapter 6 and verses 12 through 14, no sin should rule your life. No sin should rule the life of the preacher, whether it's a secret sin that no one knows about, an inward sin of the heart, an outward sin of the flesh. Man, that's not how it's supposed to be. In this pilgrimage of life, if I'm going to live the abundant life, live in the land of Canaan, I need to continually conquer the walled cities. There's a good picture there. Old Testament Hebrews. They've wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. For 40 years and graves all over the wilderness. Now it's time for them to finally cross the River Jordan. It's a new generation. Joshua is their leader. They cross over the River Jordan. There they find Jericho. There they find great walled cities and giants for people and big, hairy, warlike warriors that they have to do battle with. And they fought city after city, and God was always with them. And they won the battles as long as they were surrendered to God. Okay, so now I'm in the abundant life. I got born again. I surrendered to Christ. I got on my knees underneath that old white pine tree and with my wife and those carpet of white pine needles. And I prayed, God, if you'll use me, if you'll still have me, I'll go to Bible college now. God, if you just make a way. He made a way. Within a month, I was on campus at Bible college. And I started to live the abundant life. But the fact is that I soaked up everything I could. I soaked up every preacher. I soaked up every Bible teacher. Every Bible class I sat in, I sat in the front. I took all the notes I could take. I did my very best. I just couldn't get enough of it. I listened to tapes at night of great preachers. And two or three other preacher boys had come over to my house. And Debbie, she just kind of, oh, come on, you guys, go to bed. I got a confession to make. Back then, it was cassette tapes. And you weren't allowed to take them out of the library. We would sneak them out in our pockets. Because we couldn't afford those tapes. We'd bring them back the very next day. And put it on the little book table that was there. But we'd take it. You know, we'd find a great preacher. Man, we got to hear that. And we'd have revival almost every night. What a time it was. But there were still battles. There were still things that had to be fought. That's the abundant life. But you're in the promised land while it's going on. Conquer those sins and those temptations that are in your life. 1 Corinthians 16:2. Just write it down. You don't need to turn there. But upon the first day of the week, Paul told us that we're to set aside, every one of us lay aside in store that according to how God had prospered us. And that was to tithe. And the next to the last C is to contribute, be involved in Christ's cause. Time and talent and tithe. Don't try to shortchange God. New Testament Christianity is defined by the phrase giving of self. That really is what it's about. And when I contribute, I'm faithful with the tithe. I give a love offering. I provide a scholarship for a boy or a girl or a teenager to go to Bible camp. When I contribute, I swing a hammer. None of us swing hammers anymore. I use a nail gun, whatever it is. But when I do that, when I'm part of it, I'm contributing. Man, this ought to be part of the abundant life. Nothing feels better than to be part of God's work. Man, you feel good afterwards. The tabernacle has been completely remade out there. We had a great crew of men, and some women were there in the kitchen. I think some women helped us in the tabernacle as well. When you walk in there, you're going to be shocked. You're going to look around and say, wow, this is really nice. And I'll tell you how every man felt when he got done working those 3 days, three long, sweaty, humid days. Felt good. Felt satisfied, content. Souls are going to be saved here. There are going to be teenagers here at this altar surrendering to God. In fact, we prayed at the beginning of two of the 3 days, God, for every nail we put in this place, we pray a soul will get saved. And it's about being involved. It's about getting involved. I got a text from a man this week, said, Pastor, I couldn't be involved as far as out there at the work week, but I'd like to scholarship some campers. That'll be my part. That's exactly it. Contribute. Be involved as a child of God. One more thing, communicate the gospel. Every chance you get, tell people about Jesus. Every chance you get, the fruit of the righteous is as a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Turn to Psalm 34, verses 1 through 3. 34th Psalm. Psalm 34. People are waiting for God's servants. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. The joy of the Lord ought to be all over our lives. And I'll just tell you this. We've taught classes on soul winning, and there's a right way and a wrong way, but here's a fact. God blesses even the wrong way if you get the truth out. If the joy of the Lord is all over your life and you attempt to tell somebody about your Savior, God's going to use your testimony. God's going to use your effort. Someone will come to Christ. You don't have to be smooth about it. You're not selling anything. There's no salesmanship to it. It's about being in love with Jesus and telling another person that doesn't yet know Jesus about your best friend and then inviting them and bringing them to Christ. That's how easy it is. That's what soul winning. We are called of God to bear fruit. That's what the scripture says. Some of us are just the opposite, though. We're wondering why people aren't getting saved. Some think you ought to look like you just fell out of the back of a hearse. You know, and you, here I am, you know. Isn't salvation wonderful? That's not it, man. Man, we belong to God. We belong to God. Seven C's. Confess Christ publicly. Church membership. Church attendance regularly. Concentrate daily on the study of the Bible. Commune with God every day. Conquer temptation and sin on a personal level. Contribute to Christ's cause. Be involved and communicate the gospel daily. 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 Don't let a day go by except you're handing out a gospel tract. You're telling somebody about Jesus. If you go to a grocery store, you see somebody at the gas station. You meet somebody at a mailbox. You talk to them at work. You find a way. You tell them about Christ. You make it a habit. God will use you. It's going to be a good summer. We're just getting into it right now with both feet. Next week's the 4th of July. Independence Day. Man, we're going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate our Savior. I love life. And you know why I love life? I do. Pastor Rader loves life, in spite of all my aches and pains. I love life. It's because I love my Jesus, my Savior. Every day is a new opportunity. His mercies are new every morning. I'm turning to a new page of life. And here I am again. I woke up this morning. I got some aches and pains. It takes me 30 steps to get the knees and everything working right and walking right. But you know what? I love life, and it's an opportunity to serve God. Live it for the glory of God.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you good news from the Good Book.